Our text this morning is found in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. It's a joy to be with you. Hope you'll be praying for your pastor and wife as they travel, and the Lord will bring them safely back to you. But it's a real privilege that he asked me to fill the pulpit this Sunday morning. Reading from Philippians 2:12. Not that I have already obtained or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may hold to that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what is ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many of us that are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. However, let us keep laying the same standard to which we have obtained. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being in your house on this your day. We thank you for the rain, Father, that you have replenished the earth. And we pray that you will bless Brother Jay and Bonnie as they visit family. Bless them and Father, bring them home safely. Father, many are sick this morning. Many cannot be here, not because of will, but because of ailments. We pray your blessings to be upon them. And Father, we pray for former President Bush and his wife Barbara that you will bless them in this time of illness. And Father, we pray for restoration if it be in your will. Now, Father, this morning we come to ask your blessings to be upon the reading and the preaching of your word. Speak to our hearts as we listen, and listening that we may obey. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Who is your hero or your heroine? Everybody needs a hero. Now they laugh about, you know, children having heroes. Everybody needs a hero, a role model, by which to be able to learn attitudes and actions. Now, your role model may be someone in history that rang a mighty fortress is our God. Martin Luther, even though he had, in my estimation, some poor theology in places, I had a great admiration for the man. My role model was a man by the name of Bob Baldrige. I went to my second church with about a year's experience and a year's seminary and had no idea what I was doing. And this kind man came along and, without being bossy or intrusive, showed me some things that I could do and what I didn't do. And so much of the values that I have exercised throughout the latter part of my ministry, I owe to the influence of this good man. Now, of course, in the Christian life, our role model must be Jesus Christ, our Lord, first and foremost. But beyond that, perhaps there is no character that I have greater respect for in the Word of God than the author of this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi while he was in prison awaiting execution. This was his love letter. This was the church that sent him aid when he never asked for it and didn't really want churches to feel obligated, but he appreciated it. He sent Epaphroditus with this letter thanking them. And in that he's going to be able to say, I want to tell you the secret of my life. And that's the text we've read. He wants to be like Jesus. He hadn't attained it, but he's striving every day, every way to be more and more like Jesus. Got a long way to go, but he's come a long way. And how he shares the secret of how has he overcome what he has? Shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, shunned, alienated, lied about. All of those things, and now here he is in jail, and he's all with joy and thanksgiving and a sense of fulfillment. How do you do it? He said, I want to give you the secret of my life. And that's our text this morning. Allow me to take a little privilege with the text. Not only do people need a hero, churches need a hero. They need a role model. How do you handle the problems of a changing world? Unfortunately, many churches will see, I want to be like Lakewood. I want to be like Saddleback. I want to be like one of these highly visible mega churches. Unfortunately, those mega churches are geared to that spiritual leader, and after that spiritual leader is no longer there, historically they have declined and declined, and some of them disappeared. Let me encourage you. I think we can be able, without doing damage to the text, as Paul gives a secret of a great life, I think we could also be, here are the secrets of a great church. And I'm not talking about size. I'm not talking about recognition. I'm talking about being what the church is. You can be a great church. And here's ways to do it. The secret of a great church. Paul said, very simple. This is a good biblical Baptist preacher sermon. I got 3 points. Number one, wholehearted concentration. This one thing I do. Now, many people have not succeeded, not because they haven't had talent, but because they try to do everything. That's a standing joke among preachers. The average search committee is looking for a man that has had 20 years of experience in the ministry, had 3 degrees from the seminary, can be able to be a great community man, an outstanding pulpiteer, an outstanding pastor, a counselor, a community leader, and all of this at the age of 25. Well, that is about as unreasonable as to be able to think that a church can do everything. People come along and say, you know, your church needs to do this. Your church needs to do this. Paul's secret to a great life, and I think the secret to a great church, is finding out what you can do and do it well. One man said, put all your eggs in one basket, but keep your eyes on the basket. Look around you. We find we're living in a specialized world. If you have cancer, where do you go? I talked to a former deacon that I served at church many years ago, lives in South Carolina. His son has cancer. Guess where he's going to be tomorrow? MD Anderson. Why? Because that's what they specialize in. If you're going to have heart trouble, you go to Methodist or Texas Heart Institute. That's St. Luke. Not only true in medicine, but it's true in business, where you people say we are specialized in one thing or another. We do it and we do it well. But unfortunately, people sometimes do not have a clear idea about what the church is and what it ought to be doing. Beloved, let me encourage you. The church is not. It is not a social club. It is not a social welfare program. It is not a school. It is not a travel agency. And it's not a political power. Now, it may involve these things, but that's not who the church is. The church is the body of Christ, composed of baptized believers, witnessing for Christ in the community where they are. You are the light of the world, not only in this community, but in Pasadena, in Harris County, in the state of Texas, and around the world. You can do that through missions. You are the light. You are the salt. You are the leaven. You're the body of Christ. You're the adopted children of God. That's who you are. That's who you need to be. One thing we're going to do, we're going to try to be able to hold up Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world. One thing I do. You don't want a master that would settle for second best. Our second place in your life. He wants you to put him first and to put his body, his bride, as it were, in the coming millennia. Put him first. Adam and I was sharing this in Sunday school or before Sunday school. Man, you know, people said, well, you can't get out in rainy weather like this. I had a man tell me one time, we was having Baptist Men's Day. And he was having men's breakfast at 7:30. He said, that's awful early to get up on Sunday morning. That's kind of early to get up, especially on Sunday morning. I said, you're talking to the wrong person. I remember you telling me, you get up at 5 o'clock to go duck hunting. I said, you can do what you want to do. It's amazing. We can find time. We'll sit out in the rain, watch parades, or watch our little league teams, our kids play, or our grandkids play. We do what we want to do. And what he's asking here, the secret of a great church is putting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ first, as importance in your priority of time and energy and resources. The second thing in point two, forget the past. Now, he didn't say blot it out of your mind. He's saying stop looking in a rearview mirror. Stop talking about the good old days. Talking about, don't worry about what was back there, because you're not going to ever live them again. Forgetting what is behind. Got a lot of things we need to forget. Blunders, losses, life's injuries. One of the hard things to forget is our successes. Pastor, I can remember back when we used to be able to fill the building. I remember when you'd be able to have a baptismal service every Sunday. I remember those, and on it goes. Well, I was a member of one of those. In 1950, a group came out of First Baptist Midland and went out to the north side because they'd put in a Loma Linda housing addition out there for the VA and FHA homes, coming out of World War II. Met with 35 people on a vacant lot on homemade benches. And the parsonage was a little old house that had that old tar paper, looked like a brick nailed on the side of it, little bitty thing. Within 5 years, the church had moved in a barracks, remodeled it, and they were averaging over 500 in Sunday school in 5 years. There were additions on Sunday morning, on Sunday night. There were additions on Wednesday night. Every Sunday they had a baptism. Sometimes the additions would stretch around the front, all the way across the front and down the sides. I remember that days, but they're gone. They're not going to ever live again. And I cannot be able to serve the Lord remembering what he did yesterday. Now, I remember that he did it yesterday, he can do it again today. But that yesterday is not going to help me at all. We need to forget our sins. Some people, as a church, you've had leadership crisis. Need to forget those. Those were yesterday. Learn from them. Let it be a teacher, don't let it be your master. Your personal life. As a people, you're saying, who am I to criticize anyone? Because you're the children of God. But I've done this and this. Forget about it. He said he's hidden our sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again. We need to also learn from them, yes. Remember them, yes. Dwell over them with a sense of guilt, no. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus, and we stand in the presence of the Lord as though we had never sinned. That's what we need to remember. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All too often, as I go among churches, they're talking about what they used to do. And they're living in the past, not in the present. Because the present is not as pleasant. But if you really want to remember, when you remember 50 years ago or 40 years ago, it wasn't pleasant then. One of the things I've been done through the years, I've kept a journal for about 50 plus years. And it's not a diary, it's a journal, what I did on this day and that day. And I went back the other day and I was reading when we first moved to Pasadena in 1986. And I got reading then and I thought, my lands, I didn't remember this or remember this. And life wasn't easy then. We had all kinds of problems, but those have been kind of pushed to the side. I can remember them, but they're not that important. Forgetting what he said, I'm wholehearted concentration, forgetting the past. Third is be able a forward look. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. I run. And here is the figure of a racing, a man who has literally, as he races down the track, leaning forward, straining every muscle, trying to be able to finish the line. And he's heading towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, one of the problems that many churches face, they have absolutely no goals out there. They're kind of treading water. just kind of holding on to whatever they have until finally the ship sinks. 7 years ago, I served in a church that had some of a similar problem. And they were wondering, you know, what are we here for? And so I recommended to the church council, who recommended to the church that they appoint and elect a long-range planning committee. And we sat down and we saw, made a list of the needs that we saw in the church and in the community. And then we began to set some reasonable goals of how we're going to reach those particular, meet those needs. And then we began to write down and formulate action plans by how we can go about reaching those goals. And we put them in first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, these goals. At the end of the first year, we sat down with the committee and kind of a checklist. And to their total amazement, not only had they met every goal in that first year, but they had met the second year's goals and the third year's goals. And those that were fussing about the goals being too high began to realize they were too low. This church can do a whole lot more than many people think it can. You say, well, we don't have this and we don't have that. But God will never ask you to do anything that you do not have the resources and the spiritual capabilities of doing. Need to do is find out where you're going so you know when you get there. You aim at nothing, you're going to hit it bullseye. The whole idea talked about the mark, and this is an archer's term. I'm looking at a bullseye. I'm not trying to hit the target, I'm trying to hit that bullseye. That's my goal. When there's a reason to come together for church, because you're moving towards a worthy goal that you felt not only individually, but collectively, this is where God wants our church to be. Moving out there. It's amazing. One of the problems that people have when they retire, why get up? What have I got to do? Hadn't got to go to church. I mean, go to work. I'm retired. I don't want to do this. I'll pay somebody to do that. I've seen watching people through the years, and those that didn't do anything didn't last very long. And I kind of like old Martin Luther. He said, if I stop, I rust. And I'd rather wear out than rust out. But I've seen a lot of people rust out. I've seen a lot of churches rust out because they have convinced themselves there was nothing they could do. But there are some goals out there that the church needs to be able, by the Lord's grace, to set in saying we're going to move towards those goals. How many of you ever plowed a furrow? Not many. What do you do to make a straight furrow? Look around where you've been. Look around where you are. If you want a straight furrow, you find something, a tree, a bush, a post, whatever. And you look straight at that, and you don't look at anything else. And when you get through, you look back, and you're going to be as straight a fur as you could ever imagine. Set some goals out there. Don't look back. Don't look around. Don't listen to all these other people telling you what you ought to do and what you think you should be doing that are not even members and don't even go to church. Get some goals. Set them out there. Mobilize the church. This is what Paul's saying was the great secret of a great man is being able to run with patience the race that is set before you. The secret of a great church is having a goal and working, striving, straining, sacrificing to reach the goal. Because when you have reached a worthy goal, it is a marvelous experience. What doesn't cost you anything in time and energy and resources is not really worth having. We're wrestling with the thing, you know, y'all don't have that problem, but we got a bunch of junk in our house. Cluttering up everything, stored up everywhere. You can't open the closet without yelling, look out, Fibber McGee. But I was going down and told my wife, I said, I'm going to go out there and clean out some of that stuff and get rid of it. And I looked at that and I thought, I remember that. And I wound up She said, "Do you throw anything away?" And I said, "Nothing." This is a wonderful church. And if you want to die, let me encourage you, all you have to do is nothing. Just let the devil have his way, and little by little, you will die. And the church will become empty, and the building will become empty of the church. But if you want to live, then you got to get up and do something. Let me encourage you. Forget what's behind. One thing to do is find a goal, or goals out there that are worthy, capable, and work the best you can and mobilize your people and saying, "We need you, we need you." And God will bless. In Alice in Wonderland, Alice came to a fork in the road, and she said to the Cheshire Cat, "Which way do I need to go?" "That depends a great deal upon where you want to go," said the Cheshire. "Which of these roads do you want to take?" "Well, I don't much care where," said Alice. The cat said, "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." So if you're not aiming to go somewhere, you don't care about where it is. You just let the tide take you. But if you want to be able to do something great for the Lord and be a great church, concentrate. One thing I do, forgetting the past, reaching towards the goal of Christ's likeness. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for letting us know what to expect. But Father, most of all, thank you for letting us be a part of your kingdom. Thank you for this good church, Father. I thank you for our leaders that have been here through the years. And I pray, Father, that you would instill within them understanding of those goals out there towards which you have called and kept them here to this place. Mobilize them, our Heavenly Father. Provide the spiritual resources to be able to make them the great church they know they are, but they'll begin to feel it because they're accomplishing your will. Now, Father, we come to a time of decision, time of looking within. Pray, Father, that you will bless. And Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that does not know you, I pray that they will look and see the world is not giving them satisfaction. Let them turn to Jesus this morning as the Holy Spirit brings conviction to their life. Give them the courage to step out in simple faith and say, "This morning I want to profess Jesus as my Savior and my Lord." One need to move a letter. This is the place where they feel that they need to serve. Father, someone here, there's a member of this congregation that needs a time of beginning again. Father, move them to decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.